Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast, when we are coming to you today from a very special location. You've heard us talk about it many times. We are at the Bone House in Toledo, Ohio.
The one and only.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, I'm your host Joe, and that's Jen. Jen's over there.
I'm over here.
Carrie's sitting there. We're going to introduce her in a second. But Jen, so I know you've been here before.
I have, and it was an amazing, scary experience for me. You know, I was able to come with Haunted Toledo, with Chris and Sarah out of Haunted Toledo. Just really honored that we had the chance to come in here and investigate and see what all this activity is about. Yeah. So,
and hopefully you hear some voices that it's not
us. If
you
guys hear anything that's not us, let us
know. Now, I do hear someone messing with a pipe outside. So, if you hear that, that's outside. But we're in what looks to be the sitting room. Mm-hmm. The main entrance and the main room is to our left. Yeah. It's on the microphone left.
Yeah, but, mic left.
So, it's in the middle of the afternoon. We're here. It's probably about 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've done some walking around already, and our camera died. Our Ovilus is dead already. My regular camera is dead already.
Yeah, it likes to drain the energy. And the interesting thing is, there's no power here.
No power. No plumbing, no power.
So, Carrie, tell us a little bit about why you guys decided to buy
welcome,
this house.
Carrie.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. my husband originally decided to purchase the house to renovate, to either flip, rent, or he loves the house so much he actually wanted us to maybe move here. Because, I mean, it's a beautiful house.
It
has so much
potential. Yes.
So that was the original reason why we purchased it.
It's interesting because it was built in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looking at it from the outside, it definitely looks like a historic location. It's divided up where you would see like a typical parlor. The kitchen is off to the side instead of kind of in the middle.
But, yeah.
When you guys first came here, what was your first impression when you first saw it and you first walked in?
I thought it was beautiful. I mean, obviously needs a lot of work, right. But I mean, it's just, it has beautiful woodwork, mm-hmm. and just all original, so it could have been a beautiful house for us.
Yeah, definitely. When you got in the house and you guys started doing the renovations, how quickly did you notice that it had a different feel to it?
It wasn't right away. Right mm-hmm. away, it was just a normal house, no big deal. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until we started tearing into the walls and the floors that everything changed.
Yeah. So once you did and you pulled up the floorboards and you know, you broke into the walls, tell our listeners what you found.
We started to find bones. And I mean bones after bones. And the wall, they just kind of poured out onto the floor. I mean, we couldn't believe. Oh. You could think that there would be bones in some old houses, mm-hmm. but not as many as we saw.
Not in every wall.
Right. Yeah. Every floor.
And just as we were walking through today, we found some new ones.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you did that and the bones came out, what did you do? I mean, were you guys like scared? Were you like intrigued?
I mean, I was intrigued. I told my husband that the first thing we should do is maybe have the cops come and check them out just to be safe.
Yeah, definitely. Did they come out? Did you guys call them? Or?
We did not get a chance to call them. Okay. They actually broke into the house through a window and took bones. One, somebody who lives around here, I'm not quite sure who it was, I don't remember, called Scott and said, hey, there's cops going into your guys' house. And we were
nice.
So he hurried up and came over here.
Thinking that somebody...
It was weird.
I'd be like, is somebody broken in? They're chasing them in? But
right. Yeah, that's what you would think. Yeah, I mean, because without us calling and telling them what our concerns were, made me wonder like how they knew.
Yeah. Interesting. The house, you know, is in one of the oldest, sections of Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
It was predominantly what kind of neighborhood would you suspect?
Hispanics. Okay. A lot of Hispanics in this area.
Mm-hmm. And when you guys started digging in and reached out to Haunted Toledo to bring them in, it seemed like then, was it at that point that the activity started to go a little bit higher?
Yeah, it was right when the first bone was found was when things started to happen. Okay. It kicked up more and more as time went on. The more bones we found, it picked up a lot after that.
And what kind of activity did you have at that point?
I would feel it in my chest, but the main thing was if I would come here by myself, there was a couple of times I thought somebody was in the house because going to unlock the door, I could hear voices in there. And then the one time I came, I was in the kitchen and I heard loud footsteps upstairs in the attic and somebody was whistling. So I said, well, hello, who's here? But there was nobody here.
And it makes you wonder because, you know, this neighborhood's not the best.
Right.
So there could be someone staying in the house or that.
Right.
But to actually be here for a while and then hear them.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing that.
Yeah, it definitely makes itself known. Never disappoints.
Yeah. Now, when you go to the top level, to the attic, I'll call it attic. Yeah. Maybe the second level. You and I both experienced today this really strange, like, energy.
Yeah.
Weirdness.
You just feel very disoriented, like off balance, like you're walking through a fun house. I even feel like I can't think straight. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of anxiety for no reason. It just, my heart will start pounding.
Yeah.
You just feel it.
Yeah. And, you know, as time has gone on, the activity seems to have ramped up well.
Oh, yeah. And especially after Haunted Toledo came, it feels like it really ramped up. Yeah.
I think that's because they're actually asking them to make themselves known and everything.
Yeah.
Before you had this experience, did you have any interest in the paranormal?
Actually, no. I mean, it's not that I didn't believe. I think I've always believed in the paranormal, but I've never personally experienced anything like this. If someone I knew came to me and told me what they were experiencing like I am, I probably wouldn't believe them. Yeah. But experiencing, you know, myself, I mean, you can't deny it.
Right.
And, you know, this is the first time I've been here. And I've already experienced a couple of things, and I usually don't experience anything. I mean, I'm like the anti-ghost magnet. They all run from me.
Right.
But, you know, it's kind of trivial, but it's something. I was walking down the steps, and I tripped on a nail. It grabbed the... I have hard sole boots on, which I don't normally wear at an investigation, but I did here because I know there's a lot of open nails and stuff. But I got my toe stuck on a nail and almost tripped down the steps. So we stopped and we're looking for it. There's no nails.
No.
Nothing sticking up. And then I noticed that the steps are only like 5 inches.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the ends of my boots are sticking over the edge anyway.
So how did it get caught? Yeah.
Just stuff like that.
It's amazing.
Sarah got a rock thrown at her. We were on the other side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff happens here when midday, you know.
My husband, before this house, was an absolute non-believer. He did not believe, but he can't deny it now.
And what kinds of things happened when he was here?
We were taking pictures, and every time, even in video, I would follow my husband up in the attic, and you could see this face, and it was right by him everywhere he went. Gosh. But he started to be able to feel it, and he would hear things. So
has he been in the house by himself frequently?
No, not frequently, but he has been.
Okay. And when you guys were up there, were you asking any questions up there, or were you just up there just feeling it out?
We were up there just feeling it out. Okay. But when we were here with Haunted Toledo, they had us go up there and talk to it and feel it.
Has there been any reported deaths in the house?
There has been. There was a Hispanic woman that lived here. The house was basically in one family for a long period of time. And she supposedly had a long drawn out illness and actually passed away inside the house.
Okay. Yeah, so.
And that's what they know of.
Right. You know, that's what we know of.
A house this old, you never know. I mean, it could have
so many
have deaths
secrets,
that they just didn't say.
Right.
Yeah. Because back then, and also back when this house was built and everything, I forget what up to what years, but when someone passed away, you had the funeral in the house.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't until close to the 40s that they had funeral homes. they would have, you know, anybody who passed away laid out in their parlor.
Yeah.
Where we're sitting right now. Exactly.
And from what I've learned is that there was a funeral home that was on this block. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, the horses would carry the dead bodies across this area to get to the funeral home.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting. Yeah.
And that the activity around here, though, where the house is sitting is next to the train station, mm-hmm. the Amtrak station, that it's been there since whenever, probably the 20s or 30s. Right. So it's I don't want to say transient, but you know what I mean? There's a lot of people
sure is, yeah.
that
yeah.
come and go for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. You never know who's going to come. They do know that the neighborhood was big for sangria, mm-hmm. or Santeria.
Santeria.
Sangria is the drink, right?
Right. Yeah. Right.
We could use some right now.
Right, yes.
And with that comes, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it could have been a spot where people come from all over the country.
Right.
Because the train station is literally across the street.
They could just stop here, mm-hmm. do whatever they got to do, and then leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of energy moving through that, mm-hmm. especially when you have, you know, this area originally was the Great Black Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was probably at one time Native American, mm-hmm. you know, land or all around Toledo.
Yeah, yeah.
We're very close to downtown. There are documented Native American burial grounds under the Oliver House parking
yes.
lot.
Yes, so. There's a lot of history in this area.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's interesting because I'm sitting here right now and my back is freezing cold.
And it's not even cold out.
Yeah, it's like 90 degrees in here.
Right.
It's really, really hot and I'm getting goosebumps in the back. I feel like somebody is standing right behind me right now.
Yeah.
There is somebody standing behind her talking to her microphone right now, and let us know you're here. Nothing?
We'll see.
I hear the people talking outside.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing how active this place is. You know, like when Sarah and I were here, we were up in the attic and had something physically walk between us.
Yeah.
And we caught that on video, and
that's amazing.
It was scary
footage,
to watch, but it was even scarier to be present when that happened.
Yeah,
I was really frightened. I wouldn't go up there by myself.
No, yeah, no, I've had experiences like that
later.
Too. Yeah.
Joe is. I'm not. No way. So what would you like to have happen with this home?
It might sound absolutely crazy, but I don't exactly mind the activity that's going on here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's intriguing, it's interesting. I'd like to find out exactly what it is. I mean, with it being such a nice house, we would love to finish it at least. Mm-hmm. But as far as its future, I guess we're not really positive yet.
Mm-hmm. Anything, Joe?
No, I'm just thinking, when you're saying that, I in my mind, I'm picturing what the house would look like all fixed up, because mm-hmm. this is a beautiful home.
Yeah.
There's woodwork everywhere.
It's
and
gorgeous
unfortunately,
woodwork.
It's painted.
But it could be
sanded. Yeah, yeah. It is cleaned gorgeous. Off. It's all original. I mean, I love this house.
And the outside looks awesome. It's
oh,
like
yeah.
a little, not tassels, but.
Pedestal. Dowels, that's
yeah.
it.
Dowels, wood carvings. Not
but even on
dowels,
the corners, but, it's got the woodwork mm-hmm. that's carved. It's beautiful. I love this house.
Yeah. But I look at the neighborhood, too, and there's two huge brick homes right behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to get in there and find out what's going on with those homes, too, if something happened here, it's got to be the whole neighborhood.
Right. And this house that's right next door is completely empty, mm-hmm. and it really probably needs to be torn down, but I would be interested to find out what's going on
in
there.
See if there's bones inside that
right,
house.
Right, right.
Sure.
And the house, like the brick homes next door, those are very intriguing to me because
yeah.
they look like they were built before this one, even.
Yeah.
Now, have you done any searching in the backyard? I know it's a small backyard, but have you guys have dug into the backyard at all?
No, we really haven't. I've only been back there a couple of times, to be honest with you, but now you got me interested to
like,
look.
I'll bring my metal detector.
Yeah,
over.
Yeah,
you never
for
know
sure.
What you
I mean,
find.
The things we found in the floorboards in the attic, I mean, old perfume bottles, mm-hmm. old antique brushes, just amazing.
And we just found something just a couple
yes.
hours ago. We found Carrie found a bone, a little carved head out of bone.
Yeah.
And it's a face.
A very mm-hmm. creepy face.
Yeah. Very creepy face. But yeah, I mean, it's like an onion. You keep peeling back the yes. layers and there's more and more. I would just, you know, it would be so interesting to see if there, you know, was some kind of like written history or police records right. tied to this mm-hmm. house or the land right around it.
Yeah, it's got a lot of secrets in this house.
Yeah, and I'm still getting that cold feeling right now.
Yeah.
I'm and that's sitting why, here like, oh my God.
That's why we're doing this interview in this? The house.
Right. I, you know, I have so many people that I'm even friends with. They look at me like, you're crazy. And I'm like, yeah, you got to experience it. You can come experience it yourself. Just be very careful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, parts of the floors are taken up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can almost see right through to the bottom.
Some parts you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Levels. So you got to be very cautious, especially in the dark. You know, like when we were up there before, I stepped right into the hole. I'm like, ah! But I was good. I was good. I recovered yeah. gracefully.
Have you had any visitors that randomly show up?
We actually had a when we first got the house and my husband was here, we had a guy that walked in front of the house and stopped to talk to my husband and said, he said he's been in this house before and he knew the people that lived here mm-hmm. and he wanted to be able to get in the house so he could retrieve something. And Scott was like, well, the house is completely empty. He's like, well, that's okay. I know where it's at. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, obviously we didn't let him in the house, yeah. but thinking back now, he should have. You know, Scott should have brought him in and said, well, show me then.
Exactly. You know, yeah. you know, but that's hindsight. You think, you know,
2020.
I do that all the time. I'm like, why didn't I do that?
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. But yeah. but it could have been a dangerous situation too.
Right.
You never know.
Right.
Got somebody in here.
Well, what we found out later is that it was his family that lived here.
Oh.
Because Scott looked, you know, he found out the guy's name and mm-hmm. he looked him up and it went right back to the old owners of this house. It was his mother-in-law, I do believe.
Okay.
Interesting. So he must have known
yeah.
something was in here.
Yeah.
Something personal to him.
Yes.
Scary. I wonder if he's been in and got it.
See, I don't know. Somebody has been in here. They had to have been because more floorboards have been mm-hmm. lifted up and things have been moved. So someone's been in this house.
Yeah. That's
you've
that's
got it locked up pretty tight, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so. Except for the... Where the cops came in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, tonight's investigation is going to be very interesting, especially because you're here because they know you.
Yeah.
You know.
They seem to kick up when I'm here. I don't know why, but they do. They have told us before that they're not really happy about me and Scott having it, but.
You know, it's can't do anything about it now. Yeah. You
right.
know, it's yours.
Right.
So, you know, you own it and you appreciate it too. You
I
know,
do.
For what
that's
it,
the big thing.
What it is and what it was.
It's not somebody buying it to tear it down or,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to restore it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely bring it back to its former glory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really big. And that's one of the reasons I got into the paranormal is to look at the history and stuff of the places and be able to get into these places that you just can't walk up to and say, I want to go inside.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You respect it, and I feel that the ghosts respect you back.
Right, and I do. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of respect for them. I really do.
Well, it's just like, you know, you wouldn't go into somebody living's house and say, hey, talk to me.
Right, right.
Why not?
Why are you here?
We
you're like, because I live here?
Right, right.
I think we should do that sometime. Just everybody show up, like a regular
I'm not sure that would turn out too well.
Yeah, I'm coming over your house, Joe. Yeah. Talk to me. Speak into this thing.
Yeah.
But Carrie, you know, we really, really appreciate you letting us come in and tape and telling us your story of this beautiful house. And we're really looking forward to see what happens tonight.
I appreciate you guys coming.
Yeah, definitely.
And we'll let you all, everybody listening, know in a few minutes we'll record a little more after we do the interview. After we do the interview, we'll do our investigation and we'll recap tonight why it's fresh in our minds
yes. And
let you guys know what's going on.
So appreciate it, everybody. Stay tuned, and we'll be back in a little bit.
All right. Well, good morning, Jen.
Joey! Barely awake.
So our original plan was to record after we did the investigation at the Bone House, but we are back in the studio at my house the morning after.
Oh my gosh.
We couldn't record. Everything died.
Have a ghost hunting hangover.
Yeah.
You know, where you're dehydrated, you didn't get enough sleep, your voice is shot.
Yeah, I think that's from all the dust. And
oh, fume. My goodness.
I took some pictures, and I should post them. And the first person that says, look at, it's all ectoplasm. No, it's dust.
Oh, my God. That was one of the dustiest places we've been.
The pictures I took, it looks like waves. Mm-hmm. Just white lines across the whole picture, and that it's dust.
Definitely was dusty.
So next time I'm going to grab some masks.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a concern because going into some of these locations that are very, very dirty, very mm-hmm. dusty, you know, you don't know what kind of, it could be, you know, animal droppings. It could be, you know, dust, dirt. Wood slivers, you know, like you gotta be just, you know, careful you don't get a lung infection or something. I don't want a tree growing in my lung or anything.
So, yeah, it's so bizarre because everything died.
Well, let's.
Everything died.
Yeah, like just, okay, so we'll start from the beginning. We get there, right? We go in the house. This is Joe's first time being in there. No sooner I get in, I get this super swimmy funhouse effect feeling.
Yeah.
Like not like my head was swimmy, like my whole body. Like I could feel the energy. It was weird. Joe had a headache.
I think everybody got a headache.
Everybody got a headache. It was the most bizarre thing.
Yeah.
Carrie, the owner, had the swimmy feeling. Sarah had that feeling too. It was like can't explain it, you know, like until you feel it. It was like an energy surge, but an energy drain at the same time.
See, now I didn't feel it, but the way you're describing it is the same thing that happened to me in the Collingwood Arts Center up in the apartment.
Yeah.
Up on the fifth floor, I think. It's the highest point you can get in the building. And when I was up there with a group of people, I showed them the apartment, and the only way you can get there is through the elevator now because the stairway's blocked off. But we were standing in there, and we all had that feeling like the ground was waving.
And I got that hit with really, really intense energy the first time I went to go up the steps to the attic.
Yeah.
Or the second level, whatever you want to call it. I got to the third step, and I felt like, whoa, like totally lightheaded, totally like off my game. And it was weird.
The energy in that building is unbelievable. I don't remember what we talked about in the interview, but I think in the interview we mentioned about the K2. It was going to red throughout the whole house. And I walk outside and it goes into normal.
Well, it was weird because we moved it around upstairs. A couple times there were spots where it just was continuously going off. Now there's no electricity in the house. No. There's no power running through it, no water running through it. We had all our phones. Well, my phones weren't even upstairs on airplane mode.
Yeah, I had mine on airplane mode, which we all do. I mean, that's a standard thing when we go in. One of the first things we do. But I did test it too. I took the K2 and I moved it over the phones. I moved it over our equipment, you know. One thing I did learn, and we didn't have it with us, but that plasma ball that we have, I guess that puts out to where the K2 can pick that up. I don't know yet. I'll try that out. But it wasn't even in the house. It was sitting on the table where it is now. But
we should have took it.
You should have took it.
Yeah. You know, the one thing we didn't do, Joe, we didn't get in the basement.
I went down there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Real tiny. And it's dirt floor, and it looks like the dirt's been disturbed a few times. Yeah,
I gotta get my metal detector out.
Yeah, you need to take your metal detector down there, and also in the backyard, because who knows what kind of trinkets you could find.
Yeah, if the owners would let us.
Well, yeah, but.
But
and that's another thing too with the K2 going crazy like it did. I was thinking that there may be high tension lines, power lines under the house. But when I stepped outside, it was only 2 or 3 foot from where, or less than that. I mean, you step inside the door, the K2 goes crazy. You step outside the door, it shuts off.
I know. That's the bone house for you. Yeah. Yes, it was just a a really cool night. It was a very long night. Yeah. We were there for a long time.
5:30 to 2:30.
Yeah. 5:30 in the afternoon to 2:30 in the morning. We were very, very tired. Like, my voice, I can barely talk.
Mm-hmm. And that shows another thing, too, is we talk about we ghost hunt at night, but we got there at 5:30 and stuff was happening already.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably mentioned it 10 times, but all the equipment died.
Mm-hmm.
The Ovilus died right away.
Yep. Since we got in there.
My SLS, I was going to say. My camera.
Yeah.
My single action reflex camera.
Ooh, fancy.
You know, my regular camera died.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's phone died.
Yep.
You know, it's just all this stuff. The only thing that survived the night, and even my video camera died. The only thing that survived was the digital recorder and the K2.
Yeah. Which is really strange.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joe. That place.
Yeah.
It's funny because two of the girls, Sarah and the owner, Carrie, both said that they're addicted to that place.
Yeah. Now,
you've seen ghost shows where, you know, like Zach, he can't stay away or he can't leave a place, you know what I mean? He feels drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how, you know, they feel that, obviously because Carrie owns it, but, you know, she says, I keep coming here. It wants me here, you know? So just interesting feeling in that place. And, you know, there's just, I'm sure there's more levels and more interesting things to find out about it. And, you know, I think we've only scratched the surface only scratched the surface.
And that's one thing to mention is there's a few people that want to investigate there, which I think in the future they'll let them. But for right now, Haunted Toledo's just really digging into the research and the history. And
documenting.
They're documenting the heck out of it. Yeah.
And you don't want to disturb that with somebody coming in and, you know, either chasing out a spirit or inviting something different in that's not it. In there right now.
And we've seen that. I think that's what happened at the Collingwood.
Yeah. I believe that too.
But some of the things that happened, I know I mentioned it in the interview, but
happen after the interview.
Yeah, but before the interview, when I was walking down the steps, I tripped on the steps. I physically felt my toe of my boot catch a nail. And like we said in the interview, I turned around. I went, okay, when it happened, I stopped. I went down two steps, turned around with my flashlight, and was looking at and physically feeling the steps for the nail sticking up, and there was no nail on any of the steps sticking up. And then later, and yeah, there... What are they?
5 inches?
5-inch steps, 6-inch steps.
Very tiny.
My toes hung over the edge. So
that's what's weird about it.
Yeah.
How can your toe get caught when it's hanging over the edge?
Yeah.
It's like something was stopping you. Stopping you.
Like I said in their live video, just tiny little, or not even this, but a tiny little ghost grabbing my toes.
Yeah, really. Hello.
So what happened after? I know we did the interview and we promised we were going to come back on, but we couldn't because all the equipment died.
Yeah, exactly.
And
one of the things, it was a full moon the night before, so there were still the effects of the full moon.
Yeah.
Which
that, I know it wasn't exactly a full moon, but it was shining through the window upstairs.
Well, you know, it's weird. It almost looked like a full moon because when I got out and it was to the right of us, it was completely full. It was still full. Yeah, moonlight. How does moonlight affect, you know, paranormal investigations?
Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird because we saw so many shadows and lights.
I didn't see any shadow figures, but I did see balls of light in the corner where we were getting the sounds.
Yep, constantly. Knocks and bangs behind us, turn around and see light, a bright light flash.
Yeah.
There's no holes that the light would come through there other than the windows, but it wasn't reflections from the windows because the windows are in the middle.
And the light coming through the windows. Now, the one, there was no light coming through, but the other side by the train station was a bright orange or yellowish light.
Yeah.
It wasn't white. And I saw on the opposite side, now not on the ceiling, you know, but about 3 foot up, just light going across the room.
It was interesting, too, because the last time I was there, there was no light. There was no outside light. You know what I mean? There was no moonlight, I should say. So it was a lot darker in there.
Okay.
This time it was easier to see shadows because it was, you know, we did have that moonlight coming mm-hmm. through.
I know when we were upstairs, we all sat down on the floor. It's in a circle, like a seance type circle, but it wasn't. And I didn't see any, but you guys kept saying you saw the shadow mm-hmm. figures crawling.
I didn't see anything crawling. I saw something peeking.
Okay.
And it was low to the ground. So I know it wasn't like, you know, something mm-hmm. in the air. You would see something come out and go back. Come out and go back. I'm like, okay, I've got to really focus mm-hmm. and concentrate because I don't want to be like matrixing yeah. or my eyes playing tricks on me or my eyes being tired. So, you know, I only saw it a couple of times. Now, they continuously saw that. I did have a very, very weird feeling. Okay, when we were in this circle,
mm-hmm.
I was standing or sitting. And it felt, okay, so it was hot. It was, what was the temperature? 88?
Outside about 80s, you know, okay, but so inside it was probably about 87 to...
It was hot. Yeah. We're in an attic with no air conditioning, mm-hmm. no, you know, nothing. No, windows weren't open. There was a little bit of a bleed, not a yeah. bleed, but, you know, a gap.
He put the new windows in and they just don't quite fit.
Yeah.
So there's a tiny little gap that he's going to fill in, but... You're talking probably a quarter inch. It's not enough.
But nothing to make a ice cold breeze.
Exactly.
It was sweating. We were all sweating. And my whole entire back was ice cold and it felt like somebody was just standing over me. Mm-hmm. Well, I was sitting, but you yeah. know what I mean? Like, and that was like the creepy factor feeling, I guess you would call it. And just like somebody is.
Really I've got a new term for you guys getting touched, the duck, duck, goose.
Oh, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Something bopped me on the head, and then it bopped Carrie on her head, and then Josh, mm-hmm. I think, got bopped.
He was across from me.
Yeah, which was really weird. I was just like, somebody just bopped me on the head. I mean, getting touched, seeing shadows. EVPs.
The EVPs, I could not believe.
Wow.
I mean, you talk about crazy. Class A.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, these are A+.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And all of us, we listened back. Everybody at the same time was like, whoa!
That was really cool. You know, just interesting, some of the things from the spirit box, too. So ask direct questions, mm-hmm. yes, no.
And it wasn't like, I mean, there are radio stations in Toledo in that area,
mm-hmm.
so you're going to hear some words, but it wasn't like that. It was like, yes, and then mm-hmm. no. It yeah. wasn't like, yeah, no, you know, like mm-hmm. that.
We're here. I think at one point it said we're here. Some responses in Spanish, because we were mm-hmm. using Google Translate, and speaking some Spanish. Now, do you remember when I called out to the grandmother or the aunt?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Maybe you might have been downstairs. At some point, I had the spirit box going, and I was asking, is there a grandma here? You know, ¿dónde yeah. está su abuela? Aquí. That's all the Spanish I know. Besides Taco Bell. So, yeah. And then some kind of response. A female voice.
Okay.
We've asked how many spirits were there. Nine mm-hmm. or something. I can't remember. I'll have to listen back to yeah. the... we had our digital running the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you always leave the digital running.
I did leave it on the steps, the third step where I got the woo-woo feeling for a while when we were all outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to hear if we caught anything on that. Yeah. So, you know, it just... It's only been what 5 hours. Like we got like 3 hours of sleep, but we'll definitely be listening and digging into some of our recordings.
Yeah, I've got like what
7 hours. Seven hours. That's the fun part, you know.
Oh yeah,
sit there for 7 hours and listen to.
Yeah, waiting to hear one word.
Beep beep. The train station.
Maybe they and oh.
Yeah.
We heard growling.
That's right.
I forgot about the growling.
Oh, my God. How could we forget? How could we forget? We were there. Do you remember? right before we heard the growling, I heard something else. Oh, I just banged myself in the head with my headphones. What did...
I don't know.
Okay. Yes. Now I remember. Right. Okay. We're standing at the butcher table. There's a butcher table, they call it, upstairs.
Yeah.
And I was standing there, and in my ear, I heard...
Okay.
I was like, and I don't know if I had my recorder going at that time, but I was like, Josh was to my left, and I was like, did you just hear that? And he's like, But it was like audible. It wasn't growling, but it was like grumbling.
Okay.
And I thought, what is making that noise? Because there was no radios on. There was no equipment running, you know, that would make that kind of noise. And I know I heard it, but nobody else heard it. And I was like, okay, I'm not imagining it, but it was like right from the top of the table. Okay. It was just the weirdest sound. Hmm. What about the growling?
Yeah. We're doing the EVP session, and audibly, we all heard growling, and we're
in
all like,
in the corner.
What the heck was that?
And there's nothing there to make growling. There's no animals.
And that's what's nice, too, is we did a sweep of the place to make sure there are no rodents. I physically walked around the outside.
Rodents don't growl.
No.
They squeak.
Yeah, that's true. But before we, you know, went inside, I walked around with a flashlight and looked at the edge of the, you know, like the foundation to see if there were any holes. I did find one, but there was no, like, usually if you find a hole like that, you kind of see a dig mark around it. But I don't think it went all the way through. I think it's just I couldn't see. So there's no rodents. There's no raccoons or nothing in that house.
I hope I have my recorder on for that.
Yeah.
Weird noises.
So let's talk about the location a little bit. We did mention on one of our breaks last night that the location is like perfect for, I know we mentioned in the interview too, perfect for people to get off the train.
Yeah. Or the bus.
Or the bus, because the train station is right across the street and within 2 minutes walking to the house.
Yeah.
People could have came from New York or Chicago or anywhere.
Yeah.
Got off, did the rituals, got back on the train, went home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even, you know, I don't know how to put it, but we don't know if it was just animal sacrifices going on there.
Yeah,
I mean, who knows?
We don't know.
That who knows if it's somebody wasn't running away or something and they saw the people at the house and the people were like, "Yeah, come on in."
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the first house outside of that station, and if there was a lot of people there, people might, you know, if there was somebody young and impressionable or whatever, could have easily been like, you know, I'm hungry, and a lot of people around, they might think it's a family location.
And the Park Hotel is on the other corner, which was really popular at the time, back in the 30s. That place was happening, you know.
And you know, people come and go. There's a lot of energy. There's probably a lot of people walked up and down that street.
And what a perfect location for ghosts to hang out. You got the train station, which is high traffic area. You got the hotel, which hotels are always haunted.
Yeah, right. Tons of energy.
Yeah.
Tons of energy.
And then put on top of that, I know I can't say this word, the sangria or sanctoria. Sangria is a drink, right?
Santeria. Sangria. Yeah. Hey, we could have some sangria right now. Hey, Joe. Also, on top of that, we're close to the water, so it's right on the Maumee River. It's in the Great Swamp area. You know, Toledo used to be known as the Great Swamp. Great Black Swamp?
Yep.
Great Black Swamp? Black Great Swamp? I don't know. But anyways, it's also Native American land, so that land was all occupied by Native tribes prior to, becoming a city.
It's a perfect place. It's a perfect storm. It's perfect place for a vortex. But, it was, last night was unbelievable. There's so many things that happened to everybody last night, and it's
crazy.
Just,
it's nuts.
You know, I go to locations. House. I don't get a lot of activity, but me tripping on the steps and the headaches, the EVPs, all that, just unbelievable.
Anything when you were up there by yourself?
No.
No weird feelings like I shouldn't be up here by myself? No.
I tried to. I tried doing an EVP session. I got nothing.
No responses?
No.
Hmm.
But yeah. So anyways,
okay. Well, Joe, you know,
I need to get some work done around the house.
We need sleep is what we need. Yeah. Sleep and caffeine.
They so, don't go together, anyhow,
but whatever. We need it.
Another thing, if you guys could, if you're looking for any equipment, click the link below for our Ghost Stop link.
Yep.
It's an affiliate link. We make tiny, tiny bit off of every sale, but if you guys are looking for any equipment, check them out. They're having a great sale going on.
Yeah, there's a summer sale going on, so check it out. Check out our Twitter, our Facebook.
Get on our link there. Look below in the show notes. You'll find the link to Ghost Stop. They're running a great sale. And help us out. Help out the show. Keep us on the air.
Support the show.
Pay for bandwidth and all that good stuff.
Yeah. Good stuff, baby.
So anyways, thank you for checking out our show this week.
Thanks for listening. And you know, Nathan Bell. And we want to give a special hello and shout out to our good buddy, Nathan. Nathan's a truck driver in Australia. He listens to the show. G'day, mate. Hopefully you can someday come to the States and go ghost hunting.
Come to the Bone House.
Yeah, we'll meet you in Gettysburg or something. But you know what, Nathan, stay safe out on the road. Thanks for listening.
All right.
That's it, Joe. Wrapping it up.
Thanks, everyone, and we will talk to you next week.
There is something I have to